One Universal Brotherhood. One sunny afternoon, somewhere around 1200 AD, when the sky was a brilliant blue and birdsong filled the hills of Greccio, Italy, preparations were on at a small convent to prepare the Easter feast. The brothers of the convent covered the table with a cloth and laid out glasses instead of tin cups. Francis of Assisi, the Catholic friar, was passing by and saw the preparations. He quietly slipped out, put on an old hat which a beggar had left behind, and with a staff in hand, gently knocked at the door. "For the love of God, give alms to this poor and infirm pilgrim," he called out. The brothers opened the door, expecting a beggar, and were surprised to see Francis. They happily led him to the table to join the feast, but Francis declined, retreating to the corner of the room to sit on the ground by the fireplace. Requesting just soup and old bread, he began to eat. The brothers didn't say the word, but neither could they swallow another mouthful as they watched their beloved Francis in his tattered, filthy cloak, eating his soup in a humble tin cup. But his eyes glittered with a zeal that outshone the sparkling glassware on the table. When finished, Francis laid down his spoon and said to himself, "Now I am sitting as a friar minor ought to sit." The friar's minor was the name he had given to his group of followers, the word minor reiterating the belief that they were below all and superior to no one. "But when I came in here and saw the fine spread upon the table, I did not think I was with the poor members of the order that had to go every day and beg their bread from door to door," he said. The brothers lowered their eyes. A few began to weep. Others joined Francis on the floor. Taking inspiration from the passage, "Take nothing for your journey," from the Gospel of Jesus, sending out his disciples to proclaim the kingdom of God, Francis was clear about his life journey. It would be a path devoid of possessions or property, one with nothing to impede his senses or obstruct his relations with the people around him, one that helped him to clearly hear the call of the Lord. Hence, Francis took a vow of poverty, living a life of extreme austerity to emulate the hardships Jesus had suffered on the behalf of humanity's sake. He fasted for long periods, slept on the ground with a stone for a pillow, and wore the barest of clothing. In fact, Francis and his followers lived so frugally that they did not even wear shoes. When they encountered someone poorer, they would not hesitate to give up their belongings to the person. They lived in a rundown shack outside the town. When the owner decided he wanted to keep his donkey there, he threw them out. They walked till they came across Santa Maria degli Angeli, a ruined church lying abandoned in Portiuncola, and decided to settle the order here. Francis and his followers restored the church and built simple huts made of cane and mud as their living quarters around it. To earn their living, the order did all work, including renovating churches, taking care of lepers, working as labor for local farmers, while also simultaneously preaching and praying. They accepted only bread and fruit as payment. To avoid greed, Francis forbade his brothers to collect more alms than they could eat on the same day, nor could they own any possessions or dwelling they lived in. For in Francis's view, accumulating wealth or property isolated one from the others, while giving united one with all. Possessions aroused envy, giving rise to conflict and discord. The rules he laid down for his order were radical and tough to follow. But Francis wore down the criticism with examples of his own actions rather than preaching. In fact, he forced upon himself the severest of austerities. during one of his frequent bouts of illness, he was forced to give up his restrictive diet for some time and eat boiled meat to recuperate himself. But as soon as he had recovered, he asked his vicar, Peter of Catani, to put a rope around his neck and drag him half naked through the town to the pillory on the marketplace, where he confessed publicly his indulgence. Another time, in exceedingly cold winter, the brothers requested his permission to sew some skin onto his coat to make it warmer. "But sew also a piece on the outside," said Francis, "so all can see that I am wearing furs. I do not want to be different in secret from what I am in public," he said. When the bishop expressed his concern at the order's excessively frugal life, Francis said, "What could you do to a man who owns nothing? You can't starve a fasting man. You can't steal from someone who has no money. You can't ruin someone who hates prestige. On the other hand, if we had any possessions, we should need weapons and laws to defend them." Francis's love encompassed not just people, but all creation. To Francis, the sun was brother sun, the moon sister moon, and so were water, wind, and fire his kinfolk. Once, while on his way to town with one of his brothers, they met a man carrying two lambs bound and hanging over his shoulders. Pained by their bleeding, Francis extended his hand and caressed them like a mother comforting her child. "Why are you tormenting my brother lambs by carrying them bound and hanging like this?" The man replied, "I am taking them to market to sell." "What will happen to them?" The man shrugged, "Those who buy them will slaughter and eat them." "God forbid!" exclaimed Francis. He could never bear to see a lamb being led to the slaughterhouse. It reminded him of Jesus as he was taken to Golgotha, the place of his crucifixion. Taking off his only cloak, he said, "Please take my cloak for their price and give the lambs to me." The man gave the lambs and quickly accepted the cloak, as it was much higher in value. "But Brother Francis, that was the only coat you had for the winter. Instead of giving the coat, why didn't you preach him to be kind?" "Sometimes the deeds you do may be the only sermon some persons will hear today," replied Francis. "But they were just lambs." "If you have men who will exclude any of God's creatures from the shelter of compassion and pity, you will have men who will deal likewise with their fellow men." The man nodded, still looking forlornly behind at the man walking away with the warm cloak. "If the Lord wishes it, we will get another cloak. But remember, when you leave this earth, you can take nothing you have received, but only what you have given. A full heart enriched by honest service, love, sacrifice, and courage," said Francis, and the comrade never looked back again. In the last few years of his life, Francis was very unwell and nearly blind, but he accepted all suffering as a benediction. He died on October 3rd, 1226, at the age of 44, in Assisi, Italy, and 2 years later was canonized as a true saint.